Okay, so we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. I'm Matt Bourke. You're watching and listening to the Liberty's number one podcast. Yup, the Liberty's, yup, the flats. Check out the new space. We're here at the edge with the wonderful podcastdublin.ie. What do you think of the space, baby?
I love it. It's brilliant.
It's gorgeous, isn't
it? Yeah, it's nice vibe as well.
Yeah, I linked in with the guys here, Matt and Stefano, a couple of months ago, and I just love what they do. I love their energy. I love working with them. So I decided, you know, I'm going to record the next couple of podcasts with them.
Brilliant.
And I am honestly, hand on my heart, buzzing to sit down and have the chats with you.
Love it.
Yup. I'm like a kid at Christmas. I've asked Biba to come on the show. Biba has a podcast called Biba Frequency. Conversation with consciousness, and I'm so into frequency, I'm so into consciousness conversations, and I'm just delighted to sit down and have the chat. So come here. Thanks a thousand. That really means a lot for me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for asking me to come on. Actually, it's always nice to be asked to go on someone else's podcast, isn't it?
It's great. Like, I just love having the chats. My family, my friends tell me I just love talking. I just love conversations. I love the learning. I love the nuance of it. I just love the experience and where it comes from. And the internal biochemistry that it creates in you, if they're of a loving and conscious conversation. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, the biochemistry in the body. Yeah, sometimes like you, I could be sitting with somebody and you just lose yourself. I love that. You get lost in the story. And so I'm not thinking of anything other than the atmosphere changes or something like that.
Mm.
I love that. Yeah, that's transcending your space, isn't it?
Yeah, and as you say, you get lost. You literally get lost in the moment. Yeah. You don't know what's going on laterally or tomorrow. Well, there's no tomorrow. And you just, this is just brilliant. And it just flows. It just flows. And that can be addictive, right?
Addictive. It can be nice to connect with somebody in a world that's so disconnected.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's an addiction. No, I think it's a hunger. And I think that we've lost touch with really, really reaching each other on a very deep level. I think that if you look back on the tribes, I mean, not that I remember ever being in a tribe in a past life, but if you look back on the pictures and the movies, these people just sat all day and talked. They weren't on phones or rushing to the shops or collecting kids from nurseries. They just sat and they just talked about life. And helped each other, and they helped each other raise kids, and they did everything together. And we are so far removed from that.
Mm.
So sitting down and talking is that.
Mm.
You know, we just happen to be recording it just so others can share in on that conversation. But that's why it feels so good. You know, it's what we need.
Would you say it's innate in us, isn't it? To share, express. Yeah. Learn, understand, and we can do that quite easily in a conversation. Just before we were recording, I was telling you about meeting a guy that was telling me about making fiberglass boats.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by that. That's incredible to hear why he finds that so interesting, the process. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that you can just get that much detail out of somebody about their world.
And what, like, I don't care whether he's interested in the Bible, whether he's interested in growing fruit, veg, boats, paper mache airplanes, I don't care. But to know somebody loves something and then to have so much detail in it, like your pal that I interviewed you today, Ramon, like interest in the galaxies and his love for the galaxies, and we talked about finance and something else. I don't know anything about that, but just to sit and listen to him, his energy and the love that just poured out, I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. But that's why people drink so much and they take so many drugs, because it gives them an opportunity to go to a location and kind of get wasted and talk, right? That's why we do that in our cultures. That's why we go to pubs. That's why pubs in Ireland were just like, there was no such thing as cafes 30 years ago. There was no wine bars or cafes. Every shop was a pub. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Grown up. There's
just pubs everywhere because
people want to talk.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. And we've just kind of, podcasting seems to be where it's at right now.
Yeah.
With deep conversations that aren't just like deep conversations about what's really going on in the inner psyche of all of us. Because there's so much going on. It's like, I looked out the window today and went, there's the clouds, there's the birds, there's the houses. That all seems pretty normal. It all seems pretty normal and it looks all nice and everything, and that is my world. However, I feel something very different. I feel there's a pending, there's something pending, you know, there's something pending in the atmosphere. It's like, or maybe it's just in my reality, but I can feel there's like this, there's emergence of something, and it's the emergence of people awakening. That's one thing. Mm. Is the emergence of that. And then there's people who are really resisting that and they can't handle anything that's just not sure, steady. That, why would somebody do that? Or why is the world like that? Mm. It's like they're not being called to rise up to the truth of what they are, and they don't want change. And understandably so.
Of course.
But we're changed. The world is changing. My world is changing. And so I like to look out the window and I like to see the normal things. Like people will ring me or talk to me, or I'll watch things and people are really stressed out. Like really stressed out because they're looking at something on the internet. And then I'll say, put your phone down and look out your window and what do you see? I see the sky. It's sunny outside actually. And there's birds flying. I said, well, that's your reality. That's the reality, is what you're seeing with these eyes. Just for today. Just for today.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
No ceilings or floors.
Yeah, I go there too, but sometimes I need to see the world as it is. You know, I don't want to go on and I don't want to look at like what's going on in the world. I'm not actually that interested what's going on in the world. Are you?
No. I don't even watch the telly. I don't, like, I do some social media stuff for the podcast and stuff just to share my experience, but I don't look because I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And then
that's honest.
I want to create my own world, and if I want peace in the world, I just turn in and just rock around as the peace to the best I can, to the best of my ability.
How are you getting on with that?
Oh, life has changed. Life has changed dramatically. And then I'll kind of, as Paula Abdul would say, two steps forward, one step back. Nice. And I'll be aware of the little sidestep and then I'll get back on track.
Lovely.
But my internal locus is predominantly peace, and then I'm the creator of the non-peace, so I have to watch that. So yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, creator of the non-peace. So yeah, you're the solution and the problem at the same time.
Yeah, right? And I never thought that I was a problem because I was too busy looking over the fence, blaming the neighbours and blaming, because that's what we're trained and pre-programmed, is to look over the fence and blame the neighbour, blame this country, blame that, blame it. And, but turn in and look down John's Cross, I'm the problem and the solution.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. Can we touch on some of the stuff that you do, the work you do, whether it be the podcast, your
sure.
Your, it's funny that I was into, I want to go back. You said something earlier about the drugs and people taking drugs. And I had this aha moment yesterday when I first started taking ecstasy. And
oh, that was a nice one, wasn't it?
I didn't read back then, and only yesterday I was looking back on that, gave me an opportunity to feel what love is.
Yeah.
And to tell someone, I fucking love you, serotonin, I love you. And now I was only talking to Tommy yesterday, I love.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in the same place, but just with no chemicals inside. Well, not some as I put in myself, not illegal ones.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, wow, it was the love and it was the freedom to express, I love you, that's look right. Someone in the eye and say, I love you and really mean it.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. And I think that's what people are looking for, aren't they?
I remember coming up, you know, it's the relief.
It's beautiful. Boom.
And it's like, hello world.
Yeah.
You're just it. You're just are the solution.
And just love. You embody love. All the love. Like I do have in meditation. So I feel like I'm coming up sometimes. I'm going, and then the tink of mine going, oh, this is great. And I'll start telling myself, I'm telling somebody and it's gone. I'm like, oh no, don't go away.
I know. It's so funny. You're thinking, this feels so good. I got to tell so-and-so. And then you just go, hold on. It's, why do we always feel the need to give it away?
Yeah. And then I just dissipate. It's just gone. I'm like, oh no, come back. I'm trying to get back into it.
Yeah. I'm learning to do something and not consider sharing it.
Yeah.
Just for a moment. Because you're like me. You want the world to know.
Yeah.
That it's possible to feel brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so when you're meditating or when you're doing something, or if I'm writing and I think I'll share that, and I'll go, why do you feel the need to share everything?
Yeah.
Like what is it about you that you feel the need to like share it on our group and this? And I do it because people like it. It helps them. But at the same time, it's interrupting my flow. The idea of sharing it is interrupt. I'm creating the problem in my own meditations.
I know.
By thinking, actually, I'll stop my meditation. I'll share it now.
Yeah, I've thought of it. And I've been mid-flow meditation thinking about a video I'm going to make when this is all over. Do you know what I thought it might be?
It's like
be,
a kid, isn't it?
Bebe, I thought it was me trying to get away from the experience because I don't know how to handle it, or it's just become too much, or maybe it's my pre-programmed way of getting away, get up into the morning, get away from any kind of experience. Mm. I don't know. I'm still playing with that, but I am aware of it. What I'm in it going, oh, this is lovely. Oh, I'm going to tell this person. I'll tell Tommy and I'll put it in the group.
You have a nice self-inquiry there. You have the ability to see beyond, really. Mm. Like, you know, if this room was all made of like a hectagon, is a hexagon of mirrors, like you get all the different perspectives of yourself. The more perspectives we can get on ourselves, the more we can just let go. You know?
Oh, yeah. As again, reference me pal Jeff, you know, in order to expand, we have to contract. And contract just means looking and just taking away bits and dead wood that don't serve as well. And you know, from the work that we do, it's about trying to create that transparency. And what's transparency? Freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom. Yeah. And off we go.
But go back to taking the drugs. I mean, I remember the next day, I'd go into my granny, I crawl up to Dundrum and I crawl into my granny's bed and I'd say, give us some Valium, you know.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Because I was an empath, right?
D10s, baby.
Oh, God. And I'd say to her, just give me something. And then I'd get into her bed for the day. And the come down was like 3 days. But it was worth the love that I felt. I didn't know any other way of doing it. I didn't know about meditation. I didn't care about meditation, actually. I just wanted to get high real fast.
Yeah.
And drugs did that, but I paid a terrible price for that.
Of course.
You know, I had 20 years of depression because of that.
Oh, yeah.
I depleted all my serotonin levels. I depleted, you know, all of my...
Amen, sister.
All of the reserves. My energetic field was so toxic with... meaningless sex, meaningless relationships, meaningless like nights on the dance floor. And I loved dancing. I would dance for 8 hours. And then you're just going out with people you're not really into because they're just in that scene, or you're just hanging out with people. And then when I got away from all of that, I was 21, I went to India. And I learned how to be a yoga teacher. And I hated it, actually. I didn't enjoy it, but I did it because I needed to reprogram my mind. But I didn't even know that at the time. But I went to India. I got out of rehab. I went straight to India and I became a yoga teacher and I learned the discipline of the senses. So every month you have a new discipline. So it might be the sight. So don't look at advertising. Watch what your eyes are looking at. Observe your eyes. Observe what you're saying for a month. Observe what you're hearing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And I learned the discipline.
Yeah, and that's something that came up yesterday with Tommy. I'm like, I'm Mr. Discipline. Like my meditation was discipline, discipline. And he's the very thing that's driving this is also driving the discipline. I was like 19 out of 21, had this badge and all. I couldn't wait.
Yeah, and that will fither out. And that will be good. It will. Fithers. Was that a word?
I don't know. I like it. I like it. It's coming fither out. I like it.
No, it will, because I'm at a place now where I know myself a little bit more, and I know what doesn't work for me. What doesn't work for me is me being the general of myself.
Of course. I love the fact that she says, I know myself a little bit more. That's very poignant.
A little bit more. A little bit. And some days I just go, I figured it all out yesterday, and today I just don't know anything.
Oh, fucking, that's brilliant.
I had it all my shit together yesterday.
Yeah, I thought I was taking a can yesterday and I could walk on water Jesus.
Yeah, I was illuminated, enlightened. I watched a podcast and I just totally got everything he was saying. And now I'm just like, I don't even know what I want for breakfast.
Yeah. Yesterday I was up blessing people outside Tesco and all, blessing the kids. And today I'm just out begging. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's a human experience.
Oh,
right?
It's fucking delicious. Yeah, delicious.
It's brilliant.
So tell us about the work that you do, you know, like your hypnosis, your quantum stuff. Quantum
hypnosis.
That's it.
It's wild, isn't it?
Wild. I was watching a bit of Darren Brown last night. He'd done some interview, but I knocked her after a couple of minutes.
I don't know Darren Brown.
Yeah, he's one of these, he's a hypnotist and he's an illusionist and does these.
Oh, he does stage hypnosis.
Stuff.
That's
like
kind
that.
Of intriguing to watch.
Yeah, but stuff he was saying, I was like, I'm just not into this right now. It wasn't sitting with me. But tell us about your stuff, because I'm fascinated by that.
So my stuff is, I don't want it to sound abstract or like it's unrelatable. It's very relatable. It's bringing people home. That's it.
To their heart.
Yeah, bringing home, to bringing love. You home. Because we feel like we're lost and we're always looking for validation outside of ourselves. And people are in relationships and they get jealous or they try to keep their partner because they don't want to be on their own, or they have a house with a partner and all these needs, it's all these needs. But do you love them? Like, do you love the person? Do you love the person you're going out with? Because if you don't love them, what are you doing with them? Is it a karmic tie from another life? Possibly, if you believe in that stuff. So spirit, it's spiritual hypnosis. And how it works is this. You are infinite awareness. Okay? And we all are eternal. So we were never born and we'll never die. Ever. There's no such thing as death, as there's no such thing as separation. You can't be separate from one another. That's impossible. That's like saying that tree in Ireland is separate from that tree in that country. Oh, they're all connected. Mm. Everything feeds off everything else. Look at the mushrooms and the fungi, and look at the trees. I went into the park one day. I was in Tiknock, actually, and I was on my own one Christmas, and I was sad because my family weren't talking to me one Christmas, and it was great, actually, because that's when I got into meditation, because I was pushed. You know, in your darkest area, you just get woken up, don't you? I was walking through the trees. I was walking on the tree. I was sad, and one tree said to me, "Why are you so sad?" Now, I'm not a tree talker, right? I don't consciously talk to trees. I know people who can communicate with trees. So this tree said to me, "Why are you so sad?" And I said, "Well, I'm on my own this Christmas and my family haven't even called me and it's Christmas Day." And I was feeling sorry for myself. Not too much, but enough to feel a bit sad, right? A
bit of melancholy.
A little bit. Yeah, I wasn't like cursing them or hanging them or nothing like that. I was just in, you know, it's a shame that we've come this far and yet we're still here. And the tree said to me, "But look at me. I stand alone, right?" He goes, "But look at all the other trees in the forest. They're all standing on their own, but underneath were one root." So you're never, I just cried. You know what I mean? And I said, they said, you're part of us. We're all connected and you're part of your family, even though you're not speaking to them now, you're connected energetically. So this spiritual hypnosis, what it does is your soul decided to come to Earth for an experience. Okay, let's just say, take it or leave it. I tend to believe in this, all right? So your soul decided to come onto Earth at this time for a particular reason, to have a few different experiences and to learn lessons. So when your soul comes into your body, it downloads all of its experiences into your subconscious mind. So your subconscious mind is a filing cabinet for all of your soul's experiences, because where else is going to be stored? Because it can't come into the conscious mind, because if you start remembering your other lives or you remembering everything, it's too much. So that's why people say your subconscious mind is 95%. Yeah, it holds the keys to everything. So with this, we're working with, we talk for a long time. I really like to get to know someone energetically, because if I'm going into their subconscious mind with them, I need to know them.
Sure.
I need to know how they tick.
That's important.
And not just know all their story, but how did you get over yourself? How did you get over the abuse? How did you get over the trauma? How did you navigate yourself through that? Because how they navigate themselves through the past is how I have to work with them in their in that quantum realm.
Success leaves crumbs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Quote of the day. By Matt.
Yeah, actually, look, I'm a guru. I am the ginger Jesus.
So basically, right, we sit and then I bring them into hypnosis. And hypnosis is, you know, when you're just about to fall asleep and you're aware, finally, my thoughts have stopped. And and when you wake up and you think, what was that dream? And it's just there. It's, just don't quite remember it. That's it. That's it. That's hypnosis.
Right.
You're just about to fall asleep or wake up.
I've done it before. I've done past life regression hypnosis.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it nice?
Mental. I see my dad having sex with my ma. And I was conceived.
You went back.
Yeah.
Into this life.
Back and into more. I've done other ones.
Wow.
I see myself dying a couple of times.
So you know this gig?
Like from like watching the movie of it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, text me Mara afterwards and goes, "Did you live in the house and such? Was this on the wall?" And like, yeah. I was like, "I seen you and we don't have sex."
That's mad.
Weird. Yeah, it was. Thank God there was no toys or any gimp mask on. I was like, this is all a bit weird.
That's when you were conceived that time.
Yeah.
That was the moment of conception. I felt
myself going into my ma, like just shoom. And then I also see myself dying and I felt myself pop. Like it was like, holy shit, man. I just see myself on the chair and just keeling over and then my soul just leaving the body.
Where did it go?
I don't know.
See, that's where we go. Well, let's say, where are you going? And you'll say, well, I'm going here. I'll say, well, let's go. Yeah. So we follow the soul, you see. So you can see those things, but in quantum healing, we explore them. So before, when you saw your mum and dad have sex, your consciousness, before it was an embryo, saw that and it said, yeah, I'll pick them too. For whatever reason, I'll pick them too.
Okay, now.
Yeah, I know. We can all say the same.
I'm sure they're saying the same about me, fucking Chucky.
I picked well, actually.
Yeah.
I picked well.
Ah, they're deadly. My mum and dad are deadly.
I picked two people that I learned a lot.
Yeah, I woke up to the, when I started doing the work of looking at the stuff, that when I removed the dead wood, I seen the beauty of what they are. Like, they're terribly grateful, they're very loving, and their actions is just everything is out of love. Like, the way my mom minds me dad right now in palliative care is phenomenal. Like, I was doing something for him yesterday, and she goes, you do what I do. You run to get things to fix, right? Because I knew I had stuff in the van, and my dad was looking for something. These bolster things. And I said, I'll give them to my dad. I'll help his legs up. My mom went, you do that to fix. And I really thought about it, and I went, no, that's not why you do that, ma. You do that because you want someone else to feel love. Mm. You want someone else to feel nice. It's not the fix. You may think that, didn't say this as well in my head, I was just leaving her be.
Nice.
But she's just very loving. She's a good human being.
Yeah, and you can spot that. It's not the action, it's the love.
Just the driver. She wants my dad to feel good, like she used to make me feel good when she made me the same dinner 5 days on the bounce, and I was irritated by it. But she was just expressing love.
Yeah.
Cool, right?
Yeah, very cool.
So you track the soul, that's
well, actually, the soul is in charge. So it's a soul exploration. So your soul will know what's happening with Matt now, what's happening in your life, and where do you need to go, and what's holding you back. So we give the soul complete reign. And I'm an intuitive, right? So I can really tune into that. I can see things as well. So it's not like I can see things, but I can actually see things.
I see dead people.
No, luckily, and I don't see dead people, but because they're not dead.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that bit. Yeah.
But I can talk to them.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't see them. I can feel them.
Yeah, I've experienced that. I done a course with the Art of Findlay College today.
I just came back from there.
Did you?
I did.
I done an online course on Saturday.
Your gas.
Opening doors.
Did you?
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah, you just talk, right? They're just there.
But like, we were just, the first was a chat, and then obviously you get put in groups and we looked at pictures. Then me and this girl, we got together and we done readings for each other. And it was cool, because she like basically says, there's something holding you back, you need to push forward. And 2 minutes I was out walking my dog thinking, will I text Tommy? Will I not text Tommy? I don't think I should text Tommy. And she says, what's this thing going on with you at the moment? And I told her, like, I said, to me, we're having 3 conversations.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really good work. And it's not about doing the work to become anything. I don't do this work to become anything. No. I do this work to learn how far I can go in my own exploration.
Love it.
You know what I mean? Because when I'm learning about certain things that are not talked about in normal everyday conversations,
sure.
Which is your soul's development, your psychic development, there's remote viewing is a brilliant thing to practice if you want to tune into your psychic development. And a psychic development isn't anything to do with anything other than your soul having is in the driver's seat and not your personality.
Yeah.
Not your programs.
Yeah.
So my programs, and I'm very aware that the work that I do, we go in and we disassemble the programs.
Right.
And the soul will show you parallel, it will show you a versions of yourself that are repetitive patterns, or why did you come here? And how do you play that out? And it shows you, and a lot of people don't know how to meditate, but you don't need to know how to meditate. It just brings you right in, and they experience it in such a way that they get all the love that was never given to them. They get the healing that they may be needing. And it's a soul exploration. And there's another thing I've added to it recently called introspective hypnosis. And this is amazing. It's just so brilliant. So quantum healing hypnosis was developed by Dolores Cannon. That's a whole world. And it's quantum. Do you know quantum healing? It's like quantum is, it's unlimited.
Would it be okay if you could explain that or break down quickly?
Yeah, what quantum healing? It's important because people go, gosh, that was really healing. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's quantum healing. So quantum is if you think of, how do you even break this down? There's the unified field. There's the field of consciousness. We are all pure awareness and pure consciousness, okay? So forget about your body for a second. You're just spirit. Let's just say you're a light being, okay? You're energy form. You're a frequency. Whichever way feels better. Find a word that suits, because words don't matter. What matters is you're getting it.
Language can be a barrier, can't it?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's designed to just keep us in a certain frequency. Yeah, yeah. So with the, let's just say I'm a certain frequency or I'm a certain soul, and I decide to come here to have this experience. But to come here, I have to go through filters and layers of all of the generational stuff, all of the ancestral stuff, all of the current stuff that's going on in civilization. So you go through these filters and you land on a body, and then you're like, I have to find myself again. But before that, there's this quantum field. And in there, every thought you have is created in the quantum field, is created in pure awareness. So if I have a thought of a house, right, or something, let's say this podcast room. This podcast room was created in the quantum field, but then it became so. It becomes a thing. We think thinking becomes matter, right? So every thought becomes a thing because everything is energy. And when you're doing quantum healing, when we go into this quantum healing hypnosis session, we're not healing Biba today, Biba in Dublin, an Irish woman, okay? We're going into my soul. We're going into past, present, future, all. We're going across space and time, and we're harmonizing the resonant field and bringing it together to merge now into this now moment, so my soul can go, fuck, I'm an infinite being of intelligence. I am pure awareness. I am pure intelligence. I have the ability to self-heal. I have the ability to create anything that I want. It aligns all of your understanding and all of your experiences, and it dismantles all of the contracts from other lives or other realities, or it dismantles all the programs that your parents put on you, you know, subconsciously.
Yeah, of course.
And you go, it's so sublime and it's so amazing that when someone comes out of the session, they go, is that real? Because when you meet, then your light body comes back into your physical body and you open your eyes and they do be looking at you like, how was that? And I'm thinking, well, you tell me how that was.
I said that.
Because they've just had a moment where they've just gone, there's no words for it. It's quantum healing, which means you're just gone into a field of pure awareness. You've created everything in since your existence in that place. So, but then there's introspective hypnosis and it deals with trauma. I never wanted to use that word trauma. To me, it's like, oh, trauma. But now I know that everybody's held back by trauma. So trauma might be just your mum was never around.
Of course. When we hear trauma, we think car accident, we think abuse. Sex abuse. We don't. We think of not making eye contact. That could be trauma. No. You don't know how that baby perceived that you didn't look at them when they were struggling. Now it's,
literally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fake. That.
80% of communication is not, 87 is nonverbal.
Wow. 87%
is non-verbal.
87. So that's like,
got out my measuring tables. Like, put in me like pi equals minus. 87% sounds good.
So there's trauma in the body. Now the trauma, I call it an incoherent frequency, right? Because a trauma, and why I use that word is because you can get attached to words, and if everything's energy, it's just a frequency, okay? So we go into a past memory. And that past memory, say if you have a problem with your body and you don't know why you have a problem, there's no explanation, or you have a problem in your mind and there's no explanation, you've done everything. Well, that's psychosomatic. That belongs somewhere else in another space and time. So we go back, we track it back and we find the origin of it and we get rid of them.
Deadly.
Yeah, we remove the trauma and we empower them. Then you empower them. So we do role play. So you say if you were abused as a child, right, and you never got to... You never got to say what you needed to say.
Express the anger, express the frustration, move that energy.
Yeah, so what we do is we go back And what happens is a lot of people in trauma, they disassociate from themselves. Their soul can leave their body. So the soul fragmentation.
Sure, got that.
So a lot of people don't want to be here, but it's not that they don't want to be here. They need to come together. They need to come home to themselves. Okay. So we call back in all the parts of themselves that disassociated during those times. And also, there's role play. And then, so I'll say, right, so now what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to the abuser. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to ask him why he did that. And they talk through the person, actually, because you're in the field of pure awareness, so you can connect to anything.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I'll say, why did you do that? And then I'll go back. So I'll track him back. Where did that begin? And it's just this beautiful recalibration. And then there's forgiveness therapy.
Fuck.
So most people who are abusers in another life.
I only had this conversation this morning with somebody. They were talking about something and I just said, hurts. And then,
it's a horrible thing, but it's true.
Yeah, because they were saying this person, and I said, that's normal. I says, because hurts. I says, hurt people hurt. How do I know that? Because I hurt people. Because yeah. I was hurt. I put it out.
Yeah.
I put my pain onto other people. I ran out my kids, ran out on people. I lied, I cheated, I stole, I robbed. Hurt. Now I'm a conscious being that knows, ooh, that doesn't feel good. Not hurting anymore because I've hurt myself and all that. But it's all at an unconscious level, right?
Yeah, but you can bring it into your conscious awareness with the hypnosis.
Yeah.
That's why we do that.
Okay.
That's the only, listen, I was never interested in hypnosis. I mean, hypnosis, I just thought, like, what even is that?
Yeah, I just think of somebody on stage in Blackpool or something.
See, that's stage hypnosis. This is different.
Yeah.
It's spiritual. It's a deep meditation where you're just going to listen to my voice and I'm trained to navigate you through everything.
Where did you do your training?
I did my training with
Dolores.
Well, Dolores is gone.
Yeah.
Well, she's not gone actually, no, but it's online.
Body. Yeah. Cool.
I did her training online. I did a level one and level two, and then I did another two trainings. I did another quantum healing training for an online version. Then I did another training with something else that I don't even use. But now I just came back from the Netherlands recently for the trauma release therapy. And I was blown away by the amount of trauma everybody's carrying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody's carrying so much trauma. That's why we're so triggered all the time.
Of course.
And it's not to be afraid of. It's a two-hour session, and it's a holistic experience. It's not traumatic. You finish that experience feeling empowered because you get to say, hey, you don't have permission to touch me. You get to say that. Mm. And that matters. Mm. It really really matters. When you get your power back and you call in the parts of yourself that shut down, shut off, it got run out on you, soul fragmentation creates addiction, it creates depression, it creates suicide, it creates sickness.
Mm.
You bring it all back. So you say, I'm a grown-up now. That's not happening anymore. It's okay. I'm home. I'm home with myself.
I was only talking about this last night to a group that I'm working with. I'm doing stuff with them. I'll assume I know that they're here in this group because there is a trauma. So I'm helping them bring stuff up unconsciously, but through play. And wow. I talked about the inner child stuff or inner voice, and that scared them. I was okay. So I changed my angle and I brought in play, improv, play.
Wow.
And they were terrified. I mean, isn't it interesting that I brought this in and you were terrified and I brought play in and you're terrified? The common denominator here is terrified, fear. Let's have a look at that part.
Yeah.
We can do it through play. We can do it through this, whatever you want. And they didn't realize that fear was the common denominator. And where does fear come from? The trauma.
Well done.
But it's all at an unconscious level. And this is about just bringing it up. So as our pal Tommy would say, bringing it up to try clean it. I help, not me clean it, help them clean it.
You got to bring it up.
And this, and to know it's there for us, to know that the shite on your shoe or whatever's on your shoe, and then we say, hey, that's all right. Let's, that's slowing you down a little bit.
Yeah. And it's okay because we're all in the same boat.
Because if you act and behave like that and you're spooky.com, oh, Jesus Christ, there's something going on for you.
Yeah, like,
that's not a mature way to respond to something that's very, very innocent. Like playing, we were playing, do a voice, do a this, and they're like, fucking hell. I didn't ask you to strip off and do anything fucking untoward. Just said, make a noise of a dog. And they were like, oh, I'm mortified. I said, I get it. Because I went and done stuff like this before and I felt stupid. But here we are.
Can I share something with you? Actually, love it's it. Important. So let's say your mother died when you were four. Okay. And for some reason, you thought it was your fault that she died, okay? For some reason, someone said, you know, so you heard a not'll have a conversation and you heard it wrong. And now you're carrying around guilt. So you're a people pleaser. You don't know why you're a people pleaser, but you're a people pleaser because you lost your mother when you were four. Okay, now here's what's actually happening in the subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind, your soul, has no concept of time. So there's a memory that's fully active when you're 50. It's not stopped since when your mother died when you were four. That's still playing out in reality as if it's today, but it was 50 years ago.
Sure.
So they don't stop. The memories don't stop. So you're not aware it's happening, but in your subconscious mind, it doesn't know you're a man now. It doesn't know you're a grown up. So you're responding to life from, I just lost my mom. Mm. I just lost my mom and I think it was my fault. And why did I lose my mum? And now I'm all alone. And will my dad look after me? And is he safe? That's still playing out in everything, in all your relationships, in all of your value of yourself. So we need to remove the charge from the memory.
In the samskara?
In the samskara.
Isn't a lot of memories and trauma and horror?
They're Hindu words. Yeah. I don't use Hindu words. You know? No, there's too many. I can't keep. I just use English words.
I say
words.
That like I speak Hindu.
Even when I was a yoga teacher, I just used English words.
Okay.
Do you know why? I'm totally dyslexic. Right. And there's so many words.
I love your honesty.
Yeah, I am. And I get very overwhelmed with language and words. I like things to be very clean, very simple. And honest, because then I don't have to navigate through a swamp of trying to. Yeah, so samskara, I don't know, isn't that bliss states?
No, samskara is the imprint in the psyche and
exactly,
the endocrine
the
centers and all this shit, the time, the date, the smell, all the information is stored. So we're going around like if you got a new phone and you put this app on and that app on,
exactly.
And it's all playing on the background, it's using up your data, it's using up your energy, using up your
stealing your energy. Yeah. And that's where fear comes
from. And you don't know
from.
That's there.
Samskara.
Yeah, samskara.
That's a very good teacher. You see, now I get it. That's my samskara. I'm going to get rid of my samskara. Could you say that?
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of my samskara. It's like, I see it as, what would we say? It's like a spiritual, traumatic archive.
Oh, yeah.
All the energy centers, whether it's the 1, 2, 3, even in the heart, they just get stored there till we bring them up for light. And light is love. And then light helps us cleanse, right?
Big time. I mean, listen, I'm just a mirror at this stage in my life. I've come to a point where I'm still working on myself, obviously, right? That's eternal, I think. Working on yourself, but what I have noticed is I'm now just the solution for other people. I'm the solution, and it's not I am the solution. I know all the answers. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, I seem to be able to. I have a couple of skills that I'm able to comfort anybody in any situation, and it's going to be okay. And I really, really mean it's going to be okay. Mm. I have the ability to do that because I know it's true. I'm not lying. No. I'm not putting a cozy blanket on them. I'm like, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to tell you something. Everything is all right just as it is.
That's delicious.
It's perfect.
You said something earlier, and I just want to jump back, go backwards for a second. You says, I do this work or I do all these courses, I do all this to see how much is out there. Was there a point back here and you seem like a very driven person, you're very accomplished and you're successful. Was there a point back here?
Do you think so?
I've added lots of stuff together and that's where I've come up with.
That's a very good conclusion.
Was there a point in you that you were driven by something other than not like wanting to know more about yourself? Was there a thing? No.
No.
Okay, because I've done like probably up to this point about 40, 50 academic studies, but a lot of it was driven up to recently was driven by, I'll prove people wrong, I need to fix something. It was always from a scarcity mentality rather than an adventurous, creative exploration. It was meant, it was more like a survival thing.
Yeah, but it got you to where you are.
Yeah, I don't look at it as a bad thing.
Do you know what I mean?
Like from whatever. The flats, from working class area, it's one of my great skills. I'm a hard worker and I'm honest and I'm diligent. Yeah. And I've got other shit going on where before I was like, oh, I'm from the flats. Oh, I'm from a working class area. Oh, it's hard.
But you're not from anywhere.
No.
You're not. What do you mean you're from the flats? What are you even talking about?
Yeah, there's no.
I know there's a beautiful nostalgia to that.
Yeah.
I feel that and it's lovely.
Yeah.
I understand that's community.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But yeah. You're not from the flats.
No.
You live there.
Yeah.
At the moment.
True.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not from anywhere. I'm not from anywhere other than where I am in this moment. My home, I am my home. Do you understand what I mean? Am I making myself clear? Because I'd love you to get it. Because if we can,
I do get it.
Yeah.
I do really get nice. It. It lands, but then
let me explain it to you.
My 3D mind, my 3D way of being is going length, breadth, height. Oh, fuck.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. That's something to hold on to. I am. Okay. So when I was very small, I heard a voice outside of my head. I heard somebody calling my name. Biba, like Biba, like Biba. I mean, like really calling my name on the street. And I was like, there was no one in my room. And it was like, Biba, I'm going to talk to you about your life. And it started talking to me about my life. And it started telling me that I wasn't going to have a life of I was in a tricky situation when I was younger, okay? And it was going to get better. And it wasn't my destiny. And what I was experiencing wasn't my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was other people's actions created that in my life.
Sure, and just poured in.
Yeah, and I was like living in the circumstances of someone else's behavior, and that's fine, and that's the way it was, and I picked it apparently. However, I spend my whole life knowing that there's so much more than what we're being told. So like you, I set out on an understanding that there is this invisible force and it's love and it loves me. I mean, really loves me. Now, it's not going to stop me from falling off a building or, it's not going to stop the pain. It's not going to take the depression away. It's not going to protect you from your abuser. It's not going to do that, but it's going to make it loves you. I just knew that much. I didn't know anything else, but I knew that much. And I investigated that and I got to know that. So I just set out when I was very young to go within because I knew it was on the inside because no one out here was talking about it. So it didn't belong out here. Didn't belong in this reality that I was perceiving to be in Dundrum. Nobody was talking. They were talking about God. And then I go to the church and that did not make any sense to me. It was so depressing. You know, and you weren't allowed to take the bread. And so but I loved the idea that they were loving something other than themselves. I was like, what is that, you know? So I went through all the religions. I'm a total religious fanatic.
You are or were?
I where it was.
Okay.
And there were stepping stones, all the stepping stones I took just to get back into myself.
Yeah.
And then now I'm at home in myself. So I don't need anything on the outside. I desire things and I have things and I want things, but I don't need them for my survival. Sure. All of the love that I have is on the inside. All of the abundance I need is on the inside. Okay. I'm not searching for answers in this world anymore. I've stopped.
Sure.
I'm curious about truths, some truths and some things that I like, right? But I'm not searching anymore. I found it on the inside. So I'm a home on the inside. So if I go to Australia, I'm home. If I sit with you in a cafe in Tala, I'm home. If I sit in somewhere in the Dublin Mountains, I'm a home. That's where I'm from. I'm from myself and I'm going back to myself. That's just where I'm at the moment. And I don't mean it to sound like different. It's just my reality. Because if I'm from Dublin, I feel very limited in that idea.
Hmm.
No, I'm not from Dublin.
It's a concession to language, isn't it? It's a play on words.
Yeah, it's a concession to language. And let's just go back for a moment. Let's go back to trauma.
Yeah.
And you were with this group last night. And well done for what you did. You managed to really try to get them into a place where they were comfortable enough to explore themselves just enough.
Just enough, right?
But the just fear...
Just stick your toe in the river just to get the toe.
I love
in.
That. That's what I'm doing with my quantum healing. We're playing here. We're playing.
We can get closer if we play.
Oh, big time. I'm about playing.
Play, yeah.
Listen, you can't take it seriously. You just can't.
No, I'm like...
You just can't. Unicycle. But here's the thing. If you're watching the news and if you're reading the newspapers and if you're scrolling on your phone, you're going to be embedding layers of fear within your system, because everything on your phone is designed to instill fear inside of you.
Control.
At least 95% of it. Yeah. Everything that you're consuming is going to reiterate the frequency of fear. And as long as you're within the frequency of fear, you can be controlled.
Of course.
Well, I want to control myself. I'm self-regulating all the time. So my daughter texted me yesterday. She started a job. She goes, oh my God, I was having lunch and I was on TikTok and now I've got fear. And I was like, hold on, what were you watching? Well, I was watching this. I said, delete TikTok. She goes, Mom, like I was fine. And then I watched something and now my body's shaking in fear. I said, well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Look, eat your, how was your dinner? What's in your bowl? Is it nice?
Plug out.
Yeah, like plug and plug into yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Do things that are uncomfortable, like what you're suggesting, right?
What do you do that's uncomfortable? What kind of stuff do you seek out? Paradox intention.
Paradox intention, what does that
you know,
mean?
You know, doing things that you find uncomfortable, but doing them anyway, but in service of the work you do. So I went and done improv class, I've done acting, I do singing, and then all of a sudden I'm standing in front of all these people and I'm just trying to create a way for them, expose them to feel that element of fear. So although I stood up and done a one-man comedy show or whatever, and I done that, I was able to bring it into my work. It was a little tool, and oh, hold on, I have a little tool here. Bop, let's try this. So what kind of stuff do you do that's...
Just a couple of things I do. The first thing I do is inner work. And what that means is if I have a belief system, if I'm in my version of reality, if fractal, okay, like, you know, if it rains, all the drops contain the same water, right? But they're all different. Like if I take a drop from the ocean... That little drop of water contains the whole ocean. The substance is the same, but it's kind of separate, but it's not really.
Gotcha.
So it's not, it can't say, well, I'm different now because I'm over here, but you're the same, made of the same stuff over here.
Right.
So what I do is I have to be very aware that when I'm working with people, but they may not be in my world. They may not be in my reality. They're in their own reality.
Sure.
COVID proved that.
Yeah.
That everybody lives in their own world.
Yeah.
And that's essential.
Sure.
And sometimes we get on and we have like similarities in our reality. So my world and your world and your world and all of the worlds that we're all in, they're very different how we see the world, what we believe in.
Sure.
And even though we think we believe in the same thing, it may be very different.
Yeah.
So my inner work daily is to go in and look at what am I hanging on to as a belief system and smash down the paradigms that I've built up. Yeah, I do that every day. And the God one was the biggest for me.
The God one.
Yeah, the God one. I'm not going to too much into that, but God was a big one for me. Like, that was my rock.
Yeah. That's probably why I turned off the Darren Brown interview last night, because he was talking about, I think it was a Richard Hawkins wrote a book, The God Illusion. And I was like, oh, I'm not really into listening to that today.
Right. So here's the thing. So now that was the one I didn't want to let go of, because... You know, who I want to talk to someone. You know, I've been talking to someone, I don't know who they are my whole life, but I've been communicating with something that talks back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I choose that to believe that's my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
That's my soul. Mm-hmm. That's the one that remembered.
I think we're all God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sure. Exactly. Well, even God is a funny thing. Like, I don't want to be in control of anything. I just want to be me.
Yeah.
I just want to be a creator being that I am. And so... I can't remember now.
It's great, isn't it?
Isn't it? Oh, yeah, paradigms. So what I do for my comfort zone is I like to microdose.
Yeah?
I haven't done it for a while. I like to microdose and I like to climb up mountains and I like to do that. And that can be out of your comfort zone because it calls you to another level of seeing yourself. Because you're not taking drugs per se, but you're taking something enough to open up your awareness where you're just like, oh, wow, I've been holding on to a lot of stuff this week. I have to become more relatable to people. So when I'm working with someone, when you're working with those people last night and you learn to tune in to one or two of them, just tune in and then you can see their language. You can see their life language. Then you can talk to them and they think that they're talking to themselves. That's what I've been training over there in the Arthur Findlay.
Love it.
So I could close my eyes and I could take you somewhere on a journey, but I'm not going to, I'm going to let your soul show me where to take you.
Gotcha.
And you'll think, I've been there before. And you're like, yeah, yeah. So you're learning to tune into people so you can actually help them from where they're at, not from where I'm at. Mm. Not I'm here and they're there or they're here, but where their reality is at. There's no point me saying to you, well, I think you should read this book, that book and that book. And if you believe in this and do this, well, there's your formula. Great. There's the formula. I used to do that. That worked for me, so it will work for you. That's not true.
Bullshit.
It's not true, is it?
No.
I was so wrong.
I've done that before. Copy and paste. Give that to that.
Because you want to help.
Of course. It's innocently driven.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
No, no. We may believed it would work, but now looking back, the greatest thing is as you said many, I think a couple of times here, is empowering people.
Yeah, big time.
And helping people to remember. To remember, because people like I have clients come say to me, oh, like you do this and all, oh, you're certain. I'm whoa, he says, stop, take your power back. That's yours. I'm just helping you remember. I can't teach you something you already know.
Literally,
you know this. You're the one when I say something, you go, oh, yeah, because you remember. I don't know what it's like to be in your DNA. I don't know. I'm just going to say stuff and it sits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's like, if you're going to blame me, don't blame me and don't praise me.
It's great, isn't it though?
It's cool. It's freeing.
When it's not about you.
No.
It's not about me. It's not to do with me. Mm. I'm just an energy and I'm here and I'm going to help you. I'm going to shine a light for you and say, look, this is where you can go and it's inside of yourself. Mm. And that's an ancient truth. Going in. That's one thing I can, is I can guide people home. And that's all I know how to do. And I have to just dismantle as much of myself when I'm working with people. Because if I think I'm the healer, I was into healing for years. If I think I'm the healer, forget about it. If I think I'm the solution, as in it's me doing it, that's not true. I just have to mirror who's in front of me and really, really, as if I'm embodying them. And then within that and within my own awareness, I can navigate them into a space that they just go, wow.
Navigate them into a space. That's beautiful.
Within themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really important.
Yeah.
Navigate them in. And when I bring clients in, I say, look, I'm just creating a space for you to do the work. Feel safe. Feel ready to do it yourself. I'm just creating this. You're doing it. Like when I went over to see Jeff, he says, like, you manifested this. You're just coming here to do your work. Or that person's coming in to do their work. And it's important, isn't it? That in itself is empowering somebody.
That's it. That's all you need to do.
And sometimes even say, I said, the fact that you've chosen me and you're alone and you feel safe to work with a man, that could be a big piece. You may think the magic is on the bed or when on the plate. I says, the fact that you've even had this conversation with me, that could be the start of your own healing process.
Lovely.
Do you know, like, yeah, to sit in an intimate space with a man and look eye to eye, like the way you look at me, I'm intense, and you're intense.
Yeah.
And I look at people because I care. Maybe that's the part that you were waiting for.
Yeah.
That you need.
To be seen.
And they go, really? Yeah. It probably may not be the Reiki, may not be the Gumba, yeah, my Lord.
Exactly.
It could be just me and you sitting and just.
I think that's it, though.
Knowing that I love you.
Yeah. I think that's it.
What?
That's what we're doing. We're just sitting with people.
Hmm.
And there's whatever that is, whatever's happening in that moment, it's not about anything that quantum healing or Reiki, that's so irrelevant.
Mm.
Really, it's irrelevant.
There's many times I've sat thinking, what will be the best answer? What will be the best question? What will I do next? And the clown is getting his fucking hat on. And the
figuring like, it out.
And then I just go, I don't know what I'm doing here and I don't know what we're going to talk about next, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the
freeing.
That's the new way. And that's where we're all being called to really live in the now. So when we're working with people, say if you were to do a presentation with somebody, you wouldn't go and have a load of notes. You just show up and see what comes out. You're just being led by your own divine soul.
I'm learning that.
Yeah, well, you are. When you say to someone, well, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but I'm going to sit with you. You're divinely leading yourself into a living consciousness, which has all the answers. Because consciousness from last year may not have worked what I knew, who I was last year is now it's nothing like I was. Who I was 6 weeks ago is nothing like I am today.
10 minutes ago. Our cells, billions of cells changed by the second.
But I mean, actually, my mindset, what I'm actually thinking and believing is continuously.
Yeah, metacognition, like?
Everything I just know, it's like a Rubik's Cube. It keeps changing. Everything's changing all the time for me.
It's hilarious that you mentioned Rubik's Cube. I've a Rubik's Cube in my brain. And I love visuals, right? When I go and do a workshop, I'm always bringing visuals. I'm always bringing something to explain a point. And Rubik's Cube won't leave me because I think I need to work Rubik's Cubes to explain something. And I just haven't figured out what it is yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to put stuff, I'm going to stick stuff on the Rubik's Cube. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
You've got one.
I'm going to get one, but it's in my brain. I'm like, how will I use a Rubik's Cube to explain a point?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we're just focused on that little square and then all of a sudden you're flipped over and you're over here.
That's
and it's
a good
about
one.
Looking at it all going, I'm just a Rubik's Cube and it just keeps fucking moving. And but we're trying to get them all in a line and have a perfect
and it keeps
never like that.
No, you gotta keep moving it. But it's all moving from the central zero point in the middle.
Yeah.
It's all come from the same place.
Yeah.
They're all them parts are, how many sides? Say there's 24 sides. Mm. They're all located from the same place.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? There's just different perspectives. The doors of perception within yourself. That's the word. How I perceive myself in life keeps, it's transient. It's not solid anymore.
Transient, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't just like look out the religious eyes or the eyes of healing or the eyes of, everything's just constantly changing. It's actually so unusual.
It's
living.
Isn't it lovely to be able to sit in the knowing of transition and things change, you know, because as human beings, we're fixated on holding on to now, like, oh, nothing better change, you know,
yeah.
Like, don't change my wages, don't change my hours,
don't change anything.
Don't change my girlfriend, don't change my underpants.
Change your underpants.
Once a week is our twice a week, by the way. But if we learn to just sit with, and that's when I work with people, I'm doing this workshop with staff in the same company, and it's called Wakey, Wakey, Wakey. It's 3 weeks of waking up and just waking up to our phenomena, waking up to just even being okay with change, you know. Yeah. There's a great saying, hands up who wants change. And everyone puts hands up who wants to change. If you're like, oh no, forget about it. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants change, but no one wants to change. Mm. The only one that wants change is a wet baby.
Why don't they want to change?
Because it means becoming uncomfortable. And becoming means having to change. You have to change your views, have a change, like accept. Like I've had to let go of things I truly believed in so many times to realize that's not true anymore for me.
Yeah.
You know, ways of being, ways of speaking, ways of being perceived by public, blah, 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 and on and on and on it goes. But doing this work has led me to believe that I thought I knew, now I know I don't know.
And by the way, for anyone who's listening, what that really means is now you're comfortable enough not knowing.
Oh, yeah. I used to be a professor knowing everything.
Yeah.
I used to call people out on the internet. Now, when I got my degree, I was like a dog with two willies. I was like, I'm just the best thing ever. Like, that doesn't make sense in biochemistry, this and biochemistry, that and immunology, this. And
you just had to go and tell them all.
Oh, tell the world how, because I failed my leave and I failed in school. I failed. I was a failed drug dealer. And now I have a degree. Oh, man, I'm the smartest man in the room.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot you all down then.
Yeah. Okay. And just now I look back on you, absolutely fucking numpty, but that's cool.
It's funny though, isn't it?
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, it is. We're funny things.
Now I love saying I didn't know I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Like even looking at how smart kids are. Mm. I seen a brilliant video there last week. They done a test on kids to find out how genius, do a genius test. And kids at 4 and 5, they solve problems with creativity and they were 100% genius. By the time they went to this class, this year, the genius result went down to 5%. Skill ungenius them. That's quite scary, isn't it?
Well, I didn't send my kid to school.
No?
No.
Ever?
Well, for a while, yeah.
Wow.
No thanks. We're all right here.
We're all right over here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
And here we are.
Yeah, she couldn't be institutionalized. It made her sick, actually.
Deadly.
Yeah, she'd vomit in the car.
Oh, that's incredible.
Mm. Her intuition said no. So when she was 12 or 13, she says, I can't do it. And I just went, okay. So we do homeschooling. So I did the whole research, got the books. We did an hour and she just cried. And I said, there's a thing called unschooling. I'm going to unschool and you're going to unschool, which means nothing to do with school.
Wow.
She's 18 now.
Do you have an absolutely deadly relationship with her?
Oh, it's deadly.
Deadly?
Yeah.
I have one with my daughter, my older daughter. I have two girls. One's younger. She's getting through life. And then I have my older one and we're like, oh, it's the business.
Yeah, it's the business.
I cry sometimes thinking how much I love her. I love the boat of them. I love the girls. It's just like what you just said. We get on like out somewhere.
Yeah, we just get on. We just know each other.
It's deadly, isn't it?
Yeah, you're just real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, she's the one that says to me, Dad, you're deep. And when I look at her girlfriend, she's like, you're deep. It's because I care. Yeah. Pretty white deep. Here's one for you. What has been, or what's some of the great learnings you've had since you started your podcast, the conversation with consciousness? Tell us a little bit about that, because they're fantastic, by the way. Well, I love them. They're eating and drinking conversations.
Thanks a million. I love podcasts.
Sure.
Right. So I'm not into movies anymore. I love movies, but movies are just, it's very hard to find a brilliant film these days. Okay. Where there's really good acting and you get lost in the movie.
Sure.
Usually you're thinking, man, he's a crap actor. There's so much artificial work.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
So I got into podcasts years ago and as in watching them, and I noticed that there's a structure there. And then, you know, and that's okay, but I just didn't want to do it like that. I didn't want to just do it like that. I wanted it to be an intuitive conversation. And what that means is there's no intro. I'm not going to prop you up on a pedestal, right? And
blow smoke up the hole.
Yeah, because what I notice in interviews is they spend about 5 minutes doing that and you've lost the guest. The guest is lost in their own magnificence. They're lost. It's because we can't help it.
Yeah.
We can't help it. Achievement is a big deal in this world because it's a weird world, right? Yeah. You achieve something and they go, well, he's written these books. And you can see the elation. And then by the time they're talking to them, he's coming from a place of, she's just an inflatable balloon. So I don't do that. I decided to not ask any questions unless I feel like it. I don't have a list of questions. Sure. I just have an intuitive conversation with someone. And nice. What does your soul want to say?
Good.
What does my soul want to say? There's no plan or format.
Yeah, I don't have no plan. I just like rock up.
It's the same. Yeah, it's in conversations with consciousness. So you didn't tell me anything. You just started talking. I'm exactly the same. And that's what I was saying. Like when you're working with people, there's no format. It's tailor-made to each particular soul.
I allegedly haven't met you before. But it feels like I have.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it feels like we've known each other forever and a day.
Yeah, because you and I have the ability to be transparent with one another. So that's how you get to work with somebody. Because when someone feels like they know you, yeah, well, then we can work together. If you think, well, I've got to warm up with this person now, it's a bit edgy and I don't know, they said that and it's a bit like, and I'm just done with that. I'm just like, no, I want to feel good now. I want to feel good when I wake up. I want to feel good when I go home. I want all my relationships to feel good. I don't want to have incoherent conversations over there. I don't want to be triggered when I go and see my family. Through the meditation practice that I've done for years, I've removed the triggers. I have no triggers. I can go into my family home and not get triggered at all. Ever.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, that was like your man in the Matrix dodging bullets. And not because for any particular reason, just because it's your family.
Yeah,
I don't, it's all, they're all gone.
Just historical bullshit.
It is. And everybody can. So then
I'm still working through that. I'm navigating that piece.
Yeah. And it's really liberating. It took me about 2 years of conscious consciousness. I couldn't just go in and go, why would you say that like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or what do you mean by that? Or I remember when you did that.
Oh, yeah.
Or why do you love him more? Or why do you, like, oh, why? Well, hold on. I'm like this entitled child.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not. I'm just another member of the family. When I started working on myself, all my family changed. All of them.
Yeah.
We all fell in love with each other.
My relationship have changed so much. My dad, who's going through stuff, his body's going through stuff. And he said the same thing. He goes, thanks for doing this work. Wow. Thanks. He says, you healing has helped us heal through the conversations, through my energy, through my facial expression. I don't go into my ma's like this anymore. I don't nitpick and I don't grab my ma on stuff.
Yeah.
To the best of my ability.
some days I can't sleep, but then I catch myself and I go way up, way up there now. Easy, Tiger.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's great, isn't it?
And he got to see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it made a difference.
You've had some incredible podcast guests on, like the guy that you just talked about, the books. That man had 10 books and I never mentioned it. I looked them up and he's like, 10 books? Tommy Ellis.
Yeah.
Just wind him up and he goes, he's fucking brilliant.
I just decided I should just press play and come back in a couple of hours.
He's brilliant. He drops some bombs and he has a great way of delivering a message. And if you don't get it this way, I'll come around the back and I'll deliver this way, I'll deliver this way. And he go, boom.
He just doesn't stop.
And then it was a young guy. You've interviewed some cracking people.
There's the walk-in.
The walk-in.
Right.
Yeah, walk-in. Quickly explain that. He's in Japan, is he, or China?
Well, for anyone who doesn't know what a walk-in is, let's just give them a quick definition, right?
So
let's say, for example, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done. Yeah. I'm just done with this life. I've taken on too much, actually, and I can't cope. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to check out. So there's so many souls that want bodies. Now, these souls that want bodies have done a lot of lives and they don't need to go through the whole child abuse thing to get over themselves, right? And not to be derogatory, but like we pick these impossible situations so we can come home to ourselves, so we can wake up to our true power that nobody can ever hurt you. They can't. No one's ever touched me. My soul is pure, as is yours.
Mm.
Now, my body now has been through a couple of knocks, as is yours, but that's my body. I'm not my body.
Sure.
So what happens is a person will say, I don't want to be here, and they'll leave the body. But when they leave the body, when their soul leaves the body, another soul will come in and use that body for their mission. Now, this is all agreed, because when you sleep, your soul leaves your body every night and you do the real work. So at nighttime, they have these conversations. Not nighttime, but when your body's sleeping, right? This sounds mad to talk about.
Like it.
Yeah, but it's like, it's real. Like, Dolores Cannon wrote books about it 20 years ago.
Brilliant.
His Netflix show has a couple of Netflix shows about it. Travelers is one of them. If you want to know about walk-in, watch Travelers. Not Irish Travelers, because that will be a good show too.
Brilliant.
But actual Travelers about walk-ins.
Great.
So the walk-in will come into the body, and this particular walk-in has never had a body before. So when the first soul left the body, he came into that body and he had to figure out his fingers. He had to figure out how to put his feet on the floor 7 years ago. But then the problem is their parents or their wives. So it's not them anymore, but they hold the memories. They have the memories because they're in the subconscious mind, the filing cabinet, right? However, they don't have the emotions.
Right.
So they might have to pretend, you know, until the right time comes, and they'll say, no, it's not me. But the walk-in will come with extra, with powerful gifts of like healing and telepathy, just unbelievable psychic abilities and understandings and knowledge about life and how we're going through this transition, because we're going through a transition on the earth.
Mm.
So you and I, for example, have you not noticed that you are more busier than ever helping people? Help navigating people, comforting people, talking to people about life and things. Have you noticed that?
100%.
Yeah. So, and that's why, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. And I think for people who are doing that work right now, we really need to, just mind ourselves.
Sure.
Sleep well, eat well.
Mm.
Don't be plugging into weird things on the internet.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
People say to me, like, you left the hospital, you left trauma. So I worked in brain injury rehab. And she left the job, you left the hospital. And I say, I still do the same thing. I still do the same work. Yeah, and they're like, what? I says, I'm standing on a stall. Somebody comes on looking for incense and crystals. I will have an assumption or presume there's a driver behind that. And predominantly, it's a pain, it's a trauma, it's a hurt. And they come saying, yeah, I want the incense, I want crystal, but I get why they may be here. And we have this deep, meaningful conversation. My daughter's normally to the right of me going, here we go, Captain Deep. And the same work, it's just me helping people navigate through the bullshit that they've been exposed to, that's not really happening for them.
Yeah, you make it okay.
And it's everywhere. And that can happen. I had these kids come in and say, I'd done a talk in the school. And I said, what are you doing now? And the owner goes, I just retail. And I went, whoa, hold up. What did you say? And he went, just retail. I said, you don't just do retail. I said, you're in retail. And he says, you could be the first smile, the first happy face that that old lady, old man comes to. That could change lives. And he went, really? And yeah, man. Nice. You're doing a good job. You're not out there sniffing glue and taking drugs like I did. And he says, you're not a winner, kid. You know, yeah, like, exactly. It's very important. What we do can be turned into something very, very important. That's, you know, lovely. Coffee shop, garden, whatever, it can be an opportunity to change lives if we're aware what people may come to us with.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's a privilege.
Yeah, it is.
It's a privilege. Like, honestly, and I don't say that, when I get invited to centres, I get invited to places, to be given an opportunity to influence in a good way is important.
You're good with lots of people, though. The more people, the better for you. You're good with groups, aren't you?
Sometimes I'm not, depending.
Really?
Yeah, it blows.
I can see you working with large groups of people.
I do groups. Like, I've done a bit of work. I love intimate. I love one-to-one stuff. Just because then people can ask and they can find their voice.
Yeah.
They'll ask the questions that they won't ask in front of 20, 15, 100 people. They're like, oh, you said something there. Can I ask you about that? That probably wouldn't come out in a big group.
I think that you're going to end up really teaching big groups of people.
Yeah.
Would you like to do that? Not really.
I'll see what's thrown at me.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever is I'm called. As Tommy and I didn't realise it. We'll be placed.
Yeah.
And now I say yes to everything. And depending on once it's legal, I'll do whatever it takes. And then if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen.
Yeah.
Mm.
I will be the same.
So what's been some good learnings you've had from doing this podcast that you do? What have you learned? That's stupid.
Oh, loads.
You've
of
opened
things.
Pandora's box.
I have. Everyone's so different. Like, do you know what? Since I've done this podcast, I did it because I wanted to. Actually, I was called to do it.
Pleased.
Yeah. I was sitting on the sofa one night and says to me, okay, it's called Conversations with Consciousness. This is your podcast. And here's your first 6 guests. I was like, okay. But then I did it and I was like, hold on a second here. Did I have a say in this? Like, okay. So I'd pick guests, you know, and then if I wait for the person to pop into my mind, it's the right person. But if I pick the guest myself, it's not the right person. I kind of am given that information. It's really interesting. But I've grown so much.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you see your growth?
Oh, it's silly.
I'm thinking, hold on, when he was talking about that, I was over there, but now I'm over here. It's kind of like, it's just one big lucid dream. Yeah. And every night is a different kind of dream. I just think all these people live in different realities. And the more people I have on that live in different realities and are very good at articulating that, the more people will listen to that and go, actually, he makes sense to me. Because when someone makes sense to you and you can follow that trail and pick up some things that will help you, then you can come home closer to yourself. Because if we're all talking about one thing and all these people are missing, they're not getting us. Well, what's the point in that? You want to be reachable.
Yeah.
And not because I want to be reachable, because there's nothing for me to give apart from just love.
Mm.
I'm just into loving people.
Yeah.
Just love.
Mm.
Really loving them. Way past all the brokenness, way past all the problems, way past all the fame and the poverty and all the abuse, whatever it is. It's just loving them. And I get a moment to love somebody and that changes them. When somebody gets a moment to love me, that changes me. It's not about sex. It's not about fame. It's not about anything in this world. It's a frequency. It's like an energy transmission. And that just gets implanted in them. When I love them, then I feel loved. And when I feel loved, then they feel that. And it's just this, we're teaching and learning at the same time. So they're teaching me and I'm learning and I'm teaching them and they're learning.
It's a beautiful dance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's it. That's all I'm interested in is loving people. And sometimes I can take a minute and sometimes it can take a day to get in.
Mm.
But I'll get in.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It takes 7 hours to get in sometimes.
You will work with people
for
over
7
that?
Hours.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Spend a day with them.
Wow.
Well, their story could go on for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, the hypnosis, 2 or 3 hours.
Are you pretty enamored or are you pretty impressed when you start working with people, that the bravery, the resilience, the strength that they have to do this. And I say this to the group last night, the other group, and it feels and sounds probably like I'm blowing smoke up the hole. But I say, for you to stay, for you to stay here with me and not run away, I'm fucking delighted for you. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
It means a lot. You're not running away from yourself.
It's humbling, isn't
when
it?
I see myself singing online or doing something, and I've turned away, and I, whoa, stop turning away from yourself. When I heard myself singing, I was like, oh, that's cringe. And I went, stop, you're turning away from yourself. And then people want to run away. I say, oh, don't, please stay with me. Stay. Because you're running away from yourself. Stay with this.
Mm.
And for them to turn up and stay, I'm like, I'm fucking buzzing for you. That's deadly.
So your ability to love yourself has enabled them to maybe love themselves for a minute. Like, I can feel how you feel about yourself. And because that's such a beautiful thing, that you're comfortable enough in your own skin, right? Mm. I'm not saying that you figured it all out, because I've never met anyone who's figured it all out. But there's something about you, you've gotten to a place where you're all right with you.
Oh, yeah.
You really are. And you're loving all of the aspects of yourself.
Mm.
And it's not, I thought loving myself was this cringy kind of, I'd have to kind of fancy myself. I'd look great.
I love my neuroses. I love my idiosyncrasies. I love I wear odd socks. I love the fact that I'm fucking so all judgmental, and then I change my mind, and then I love you, and then I'm like, you fucking head case.
And even when you make a big fucking mistake, you love that even more.
Yeah.
And you think, man, I really fucked up there.
I'm metabolics of that.
Fair play to me. I'm not going to rewind from that, but I'm going to try not to do that again.
Yeah, that shit's Phil Arizona.
Instead of crucifying yourself, right, and punishing yourself.
And it's that's the piece when we rock up to work with people or go into these centers, and they see that see the ordinariness of themselves in me and you, and they go, okay, like I done this leadership course in Minute with this lady, and I'm with all these game changer CEOs of these organizations. I'm just Matt from the flats rocked up in his Air Max and tracksuit. I actually wrote a poem, and I was on this course called 42 Going on 8, right? So I'm with all these big wigs, and I'm thinking, I'm not meant to be here. This was 2016, 17. And the lady running the course, wonderful woman, and I'm watching, checking for any danger. And her neck was going a little bit rashy, and she was getting a little bit stumbly. And I'm sitting up going, oh, this is interesting. What's going on here? And she stopped, and she went, I'm getting really nervous. I have to stop here for a minute. This seems overwhelming. And she cried a little and she continued. And I said, can I just say something for a minute? And she says, yeah. I said, see what you're doing there? That's fucking brilliant. You have settled me down. I didn't know leaders could be vulnerable. I didn't know that they get stressed. I didn't know they could be so fucking honest. Yeah. I'm delighted you're crying. I'm all in. I'm fucking in.
Throw her the Kleenex.
I says, I'm in. This is it. This is what a leader does. And she went, yeah. And I went, I'm in. Yeah. Sold.
Wow.
Yeah, sold.
Wow.
Because I didn't know that's what leaders do.
Yeah.
So if we can be ordinary, if we can be relatable to people,
exactly.
Whether you're from the flats, whether you're from Dundrum, whether you're from outer space, from fucking another planet.
Just relatable.
Just make yourself relatable if you can by just being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Not changing how you speak, the clothes you wear, whatever. And then they go, yeah, like, okay, I see change, and that's what it could look like.
Hold on, not stand out. Have you seen your Jeep outside?
my wife Anne. I'm just a man and a wife Anne.
Haven't you got your logo on it?
Yeah,
your gas.
Yeah.
What is Magic Mind anyway?
It's the podcast, Magic Mind's podcast.
Yeah, but like you have
stories to have the power to inspire. I'm like a secondhand car salesman when I say that. This is not about me. It's about you, by the way. It's the Beba frequency moment.
Yeah, Magic Mind.
Yeah, it's just a podcast. It's just something I start. I just love it. It's
great fun.
Fun.
I think I do the podcast for fun.
Yeah.
I get to do it for fun. And I like to hear what people have to say. I love listening to people.
Yeah.
I just love listening to them.
Like people said to me before, do you believe all the stories people tell you? And I go, I don't care. Because if they talk with that much energy and love, who cares whether it's true or not? Once they're not talking about people and it's not hurting other people, then that won't be happening. But if they come and they tell in the same way, I'm all in.
I think that most people are telling you their reality.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I do. And it's abstract. Some people have been abducted and that's their reality. And who am I to say that that's not real? Just because I was never abducted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, not that I remember anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not. I can't. I have to, for me to enjoy this life, all right, that's all I'm really interested in. How do I enjoy this life? Because I didn't want to be here for so long.
Sure.
I didn't know why, but I just didn't want to be here. And so I now I really want to be here. And so I enjoy being here. And so how do I maintain that? And I just, no judgment. I don't need to convince you of anything. But if you need help, I'm here.
Sure.
And I have, like you, you've got the ability to reach within different realms. So as a medium, right, you're able to, when someone comes to your stall, you're able to read them, intuitively read them, and you know what to say. You don't know you know what to say, but you always know what to say. You always know what to say. The right thing is just always said. That's really, that's just magic.
Mm.
You see, that's how I work as well. I just intuitively know how to read people. And that's not like I'm a psychic reader. I'm not a psychic reader, but I have the ability to tune in and know how you're feeling. And based on that, I'm then shown images and then I'll talk about those things.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And so my work is really to assist others. And because I'm comfortable in my own skin and I like who I am, sometimes I'll give myself a hard time, but I genuinely am a good person. I am. You know, I used to be a good person and then I had a kid and then I was a horrible person. I thought it was, until I had a kid, I thought it was nice. Then I had a kid and I thought, you're not so nice. You got some things to work out. And then I worked them out and I worked them out with my daughter.
Lovely.
And all the anger, so much anger.
Sure, sure, sure. That's very honest.
So much abandonment, you know, like just abandonment. Where was her dad? Where was my dad?
Abandon Why am I raising... Yourself.
Abandon yourself. And then when she came along, I was just, I had so much to work through. I'm at a place now where I'm really comfortable with myself. And I think that, like you, you're comfortable with yourself. So when you meet someone like that, it gives you the permission to be comfortable with yourself. That's it.
Yeah.
And then in that, the stuff surfaces.
And I didn't realize this. I didn't realize about the energy, you know, people like energy. And it just, as much as I was into science, and then I started working with Tom, and like it was leading up to this. I came across this in 2016. I'm a bit of a slow learner sometimes. And here we are. And now I'm just so into frequencies and energies and just feelings. I'm like, oh, it's just an awareness and it's not a judgment. It's just like, this station or that station, I just know this station works for me. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, like I woke up this morning. The morning's the best time to gauge this whole game of life, right? So I woke up and I looked out the window and I felt weird.
Sure.
I just thought, what is that feeling?
Yeah.
It's like a feeling. I don't know what it is. It's like a pending feeling. So I went downstairs and everything was so quiet and still. There's nothing going on inside of me. I had no internal battles, no civil wars, no. And I was like, you used to work 9 to 5, so I'd be out of the house. And the part of me is like, I don't have to go to work today. I'm still like a kid in a sweet shop. I'm still like loving that. I do my own work, but it's not like I have to be there at 9 o'clock.
No, I'm still not, like, not on the clock in.
But it's still in my subconscious mind. Like, why are you not in work? Well, what work are you talking about?
Yeah,
and why would I not be here?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so then I realized that actually I'm not used to the stillness because I've just taken time off things and I'm always doing things. There's so much stillness that I actually don't really know what to be doing with myself.
Sure.
But it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
So I can write more.
Gorgeous.
Or I can paint.
Your paint. I see that.
Or paint. Like just create some space within yourself, because when you create space within yourself, whatever's in you, whatever's, there's a hook here. There's always hooks. Hooks are past patterns. There's hooks within us. And sometimes when we're still enough, and it doesn't mean meditating, it just means just not going on your phone, not listening to a podcast or a YouTube video, not watching a movie, but just hanging out in your house doing nothing. Not even really cleaning. You're just kind of sitting down, have a cup of tea and looking at your animal. Like, you know, not really doing much. Something's going to come up. You've got to give space for it to come up. And when it comes up, you just don't go and shove it down.
Or pull it out.
You don't. You have to go, what is this?
Yeah, sure.
I'm feeling a bit like lonely, or I'm feeling a bit agitated, or whatever it is, look at it. And then once you see it, it will kind of disappear.
Sure, yeah. Consciousness is light and light is love.
It won't ruin your day.
Dark doesn't like to sit in the presence of light, does it? I'm just a prophet sitting over here just throwing out fucking wisdoms.
Exactly. Are you going to write a book?
Another one?
Have you got a book?
I wrote the, well, it's me mates, it's not a book, it's just a lot of poems in it. Fucking
thing. Have you read a book?
Yeah.
And what's it called?
It's called From My Head to My Heart.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. It has all my poetry and it has a gratitude list and has wisdoms. Like, I'm wise and all. And it has a short story, how it moved my head to my heart. And it's a slow, from my head to my heart. It's a daily chore, or not chore, it's a daily work, moving down into this realm here and I pop back up and pop back down. It's like an elevator. It's like one of those bullet trains in Japan. It flies up and flies back down. And so, yeah, I was writing another one and I don't want to write from that position anymore. So now I'm just going to wait. I wrote 7 pages in a year. But it's not ready to happen yet because I don't want to write from down there. I want to write from up here, and when that will come up, it'll come up.
Yeah.
Now my work is just this work, the work. I used to write. Oh well, I write poetry, so that's what I must do because I'm a poet. No, you're not. You just wrote your poems one time. You're not a poet. So now I do whatever.
Maybe you're a poet when you write poems.
Yeah, I just do whatever. Now I don't title anything. I just do stuff. And whatever feels good to do, I'll make a video today, I'll share it in that WhatsApp group, I won't, I'll put it online. I don't have any kind of limitation
what
I do.
That's what I was trying to say. You're very good at articulating yourself, actually. When you said, I'm writing a book, but I don't want to write it from here, I want to write it from there. I'm the same. It's like, that's what I mean. Like everything I know, it just is moving all the time and changing. I've been writing a book for 2 to 3 years.
Sure.
But I can't write a book because my ideas keep changing.
How
can I write down something yesterday is no relevance to today?
Yeah.
I don't want to publish that.
And same, I was going to write and call from two phones to writing poems. And obviously I used to be a drug dealer and I don't want to write from that anymore. Now I want to write from up here and that's changing. So I'll just wait.
Love is a drug. So you're a new kind of a dealer.
Yeah. I go in and I talk at schools and I say, I work in America, I sell crystals and I'll always end up. Not crystal meth, by the way, but I can get you some. No drugs, kids, only hugs. I haven't asked this question forever and a day, and I forgot, actually. What's the one thing you'd like people to take away from this conversation after listening to it? What would you like them to stick in their bag?
That they're never alone.
You're not alone.
No, you're never alone.
Anymore.
No, you're not. You're not.
No,
there's
no separation. There's no nothing and there's no separation.
No, but so many people are feeling lonely.
Sure, great.
They're just not connected. They feel disconnected. They don't know how to reach out. They're too self-conscious to talk about themselves and their problems or their abuse or whatever it is, that you're not alone. And there are many of us out there who are going through the same thing or that can help. You just got to ask yourself, close your eyes and say, I need help. Send me the right people. Like, start asking your higher self, yourself, your team, all of your, you've got a whole collection of people that work with you. Ask for help. People are just feeling lonely, really lonely.
Sure.
It's a virus on this planet at the moment, is loneliness. And
we've got the antidote.
You're not alone. You're really not alone. Like, look within. And if you don't want to look within, seek help. And I don't mean going to therapy for 10 years. That's fine. But I mean, you want someone who can spiritually navigate you through what you're going through.
Sure.
It's a spiritual work. That's the only thing that I'm interested in, is letting people know that they're not alone.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And I believe every word you say.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I've got a bullshit fucking detector.
Me
all
too.
Yeah. We know what it's all about.
You're not
alone.
It's not about go and reach for the limits and set goals. No, people, how can you reach for the limits and set goals when you don't know who you are?
Yeah, or what you are.
Yeah, or what's possible. Like,
sure.
What's possible is, it's possible to feel good.
Yeah,
it is possible. Mm. You and I feel good.
Yeah,
we did something different. We put the work in, right?
Sure.
You got to put the work in. You got to do something differently, make different phone calls, have different conversations, go to different places, try something different. You can't be doing the same thing and expecting different results.
No.
When you are not alone. It's really important that people know that.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. For anyone that wants to find you, to do some work with you and take a dive into the quantum field of healing, where can they find you? What's the best way to?
Quantumhealing.health.
Quantumhealing.health.
It takes a while to spell that one, yeah. But quantumhealing.health.
Sure. I'm going to put all the links to your work.
Great, thank you.
Your Instagram page, your website. I'll put it in the Spotify and on the YouTube page.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks you so much.
That was delicious. I put my hand out and I tell you, I love you.
Oh.
I love you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You're a beautiful human being.
Thank you so much.
So that's it. Here we are. We're end of the first episode here in The Edge with Podcast Dublin. I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. Stefano, you're absolutely incredible. Matt on the keyboard over there, or on the mothership editing. Isn't he deadly?
Yeah, he's deadly.
And we know this work, and we know when we meet people, these two guys are genuinely sound.
Yeah, the energy of the two of them.
Yeah, and that's and we're not blowing smoke up people's holes.
No, it's very important. There's no ego where there's no fuss. It's just sit down and do your thing.
Yeah, because they love what they're doing, and that's what they're meant to do. Lovely. So I'm delighted and I'm privileged. I'm so privileged that they give me this opportunity to record this.
Lovely.
All my interviews are raw. To you in great stead by my pal Niall Royley from Rooney Media Graphics. He helps me with all the work. He keeps me navigated in this area. If I didn't have him, I'd be off doing other stuff and changing the colors, changing everything. He's just incredible. Rooney Media Graphics, he's my pal since we were kids and I can't thank him enough. So he's been on my journey and will always be on my journey. The girls home, Shannon's Hope Line, Lisa and Sandra Kelleher, and the people of the Liberties, my crew. I love yous. Share this with family and friends. Thanks for being so kind and all the feedback that I get. So take a ham and cheesy. Mind your little self. You up the flats? Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you.